A global pandemic can sure mess with your plans. But just like we try to keep active by walking around the neighborhood and exercising at home, maybe we also need to feed our travel dreams every now and then. Do your travel memories help sustain you during the global shutdowns? Where's the first place you want to land once it's safe to travel abroad again? Our number at Travel with Rick Steves is 877-333-7425. Steve in Westchester, Pennsylvania is on the line to get us started. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's fun to be talking to travelers and kind of thinking about, you know, we're going to be traveling again sooner or later. Right now, we have to be patient. But a beautiful thing about travel is we have memories, and we have memories that kind of stoke our appetite for more of this travel. What have you been thinking about lately?
Well, actually, I've been watching a lot of your programs on TV. That is really, it's inspiring because we sort of relive some of the places we've been. But my wife and I have been traveling to Slovakia. I've been going for about the last 20 years. She's been going for about the last 10, but we've really, really enjoyed it. There are so many things to see there, like a lot of the other countries.
Steve, if you're watching my shows, there's 100 of them, and I've yet to do Slovakia.
Yeah, that's why I wrote in.
I want to do Slovakia really badly. I love Bratislava. That's an amazing capital.
It is. And when you get more in-country, I think you'll find that they've got the Tatra Mountains there.
Mm-hmm.
They have, I think, 60 different wooden churches. There's just so many things to see that it's really quite amazing.
Well, you know,
a lot of castles.
Steve, those of us who have no reason to be focused on Slovakia, we might know Bratislava because it's just an hour away from Vienna. They say they're the only two capitals in Europe that you can see the lights of each city from each other at night. They're so close together, and that's all I know about Slovakia. Tell us more about the charms of Slovakia. Remember, that used to be Czechoslovakia, and then they had the peaceful separation. What do they call that? The velvet divorce or something like that?
And it was the velvet.
Tell us about the charms of Slovakia beyond its capital, Bratislava.
Well, we've enjoyed visiting a lot of the castles. They have one on the eastern side of the country called Spiš. And that's one of the oldest, I think, in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
It dates back, I think, to 800 AD and even to the Roman Empire. They found some ruins underneath it, so it's quite old. But the charm of the country is just wonderful. They have a lot of little villages, and each little village has a church in the center of it where you're driving along the countryside. And you do see, you see the spire of the church and the double cross.
Double cross meaning Orthodox or what?
Yes, it's a Greek Orthodox.
Uh-huh.
But most of the population is Catholic.
Okay.
One of the cities that we've gone to and we've actually met and developed many friendships is a city in the center of the country called Martin.
Hmm.
They have a Lutheran school there and a church, and we've done some work there. With my church and developed a lot of friendships with students and the adults there. And actually, when we were there, we were paired with families, and many of them had a really hard time adapting to capitalism, even though it was, 10, 12 years after the revolution. They really had it because under communism, they knew that they had medical care. It may not have been good.
Right.
They knew that they were going to be able to retire. There was a certain sense of security there.
Mm-hmm.
So people, my age, I'm in my 60s, that we met back then, were very concerned about their future. Now, the new generations, they've adapted to capitalism very well.
Right.
They're doing very well. I mean, this town we went in, it didn't have any amenities in it way back when, and I think in 2010 they got a McDonald's, and that was a big deal. So, all the major grocery stores moved into the city, and the EU built roads when they joined the EU. That helped a lot.
Yeah.
The infrastructure was pretty poor.
They're coming out of a difficult heritage. I mean, I understand they actually sold their old cobbles in order to make some money to the capitalists in the West during communism. They literally sold off a lot of their charm, but they've resurrected it in some beautiful way, and it's a real pleasant surprise if you get a chance. As you're mentioning, there's lots more to see than that, especially considering the wonderful welcome you get in a part of Europe that is not that touristic, so people will accept you not just as part of the economy, but as part of the party, which is a beautiful thing.
It is. The people are wonderful.
Nice.
My wife has done her family history, and she's really half Slovak, so it gives us another connection, and we've gone back
We've
been to the villages that her family came from, and it's
nice.
Also really helped us.
All right. Well, I'm sorry I haven't done a TV show in Slovakia, but I got to say that I have a trumpet that was made in Slovakia, and I love my trumpet, and it has not piston valves, but rotary valves like a French horn, and every time I get it out, I think, Slovakia, I got to go there and make a TV show on it. So stay tuned, okay? Thanks, Steve, for your call.
Okay, we'll look forward next year.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Rick. Thanks, yep. Good talking to you.
You too. We're feeding our travel dreams right now on Travel with Rick Steves by hearing where some of our listeners are hoping to go as soon as it's okay to head overseas again. You can email us your ideas at radio@ricksteves.com. Judy's on the line in San Jose, California. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Rick. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, great to have you on. What's going on with your travel dreams lately?
Well, I had plans to go to Vienna and then hike in the south of the Czech Republic and then go to Prague, but I postponed them because of the pandemic. I've been to Vienna and Prague both before and wanted to go back to both of them, and then I found this end-to-end hiking trip that I could do in the south of the Czech Republic, so I'm going to do those three things.
Well, you know, it's so nice to see a couple of great cultural capitals like Vienna and Prague and then splice in some enjoying the local nature, like the hike you're talking about. Tell us about the hike you're thinking about.
Well, it's advertised as being hiking from Vienna to Prague, but I'm not going to do the whole thing. It's over 200 miles. I'm really going to do about 6 days of hiking on the good bits. And the company that I'm going using, although they're not going with me, I'm actually going to be hiking all by myself, but they'll give me directions and a map and a navigation device. They'll cart my luggage for me, and they'll also pick me up, or else I'll take a train and go to a trailhead for a good bit of the, you know, pretty nice part of it, and then I'll go to another lodging, and then the next day I'll go to another pretty part.
Now, this is news to me, and I think a lot of people's traveling ears are perking up. So this trail's going from Vienna to Prague, and it's way too long to hike for the normal traveler like you or me. But you can hire a company, and they set you up with guest houses or little hotels. They shuttle your gear from here to there. They let you drive and cheat to go ahead on the hike, and they choose which bits, or you choose which bits you want to do. And it's sort of like a lazy man's hike.
Exactly. They choose for me the good bits because I don't know.
I love it.
And they pick the little towns that I stay in.
Oh, I love it. Have you done this before?
I've done it in other countries. Yeah. Some of the times when you do this style of hiking, you go from door to door, you know, from the lodging of one door, you hike all the way to the lodging, the door of the next lodging.
Yeah.
But on some of them, it's too far, like in Switzerland, and you can take gondolas and trains to shorten the distance between places.
But this is called, is this a company called Greenways Vienna or Greenways?
It's called Greenways.
Greenways.
And it's a company, it seems like they help develop this trail and they help maintain it.
Yeah.
And then they also have these trips, but you can do the same trip with other companies. But I decided to go with them because they're local to the Czech Republic.
But the beautiful thing is you've got your accommodations, you've got your shuttles to carry your gear and to carry you if it's a segment of the trail you don't want to do. And you know what you're in for. Every day it's a comfortable hike, and you've got no stress about where you're going to be staying and no sweat about carrying all that baggage. It just sounds like a utopian way to hike.
Oh, it's a lovely way to hike. I've done it in about 4 or 5 different European countries now because it's very popular there.
Well, what are the other hikes you did that would be worth having people dream about?
This trip I'm going to do all by myself, but I did in the past. I've done it with friends. And 2 years ago we hiked from Cerbère in France on the Mediterranean to Cadacus in Spain on the Mediterranean.
Ah, nice.
And so each morning we would stay, we would start out from our lodging and we'd hike up into the Pyrenees and then we'd hike across, you know, in the Pyrenees with fantastic views of the Mediterranean.
Mm-hmm.
And then we hiked down into a fishing village to stay.
Ah, Cadacus is nice.
It was fabulous.
Did it end in Cadacus?
Yes.
That's Salvador Dali's hometown.
Exactly.
Oh, yes. I love that town. You're inspiring me. Judy, thank you so much for sharing this. I hope that you can get back out on that trail, but not have to carry your own bag.
Me too.
Okay, take care. Happy travels.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're imagining where we'd like to go when that happy day comes when we can go. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. And let's talk to Caroline, who's calling in from Lake Forest Park in Washington. Hi, Caroline.
Hi, it's Rick.
So if you could go back to Europe tomorrow, where would you go?
Oh, well, Paris would be one of my first choices.
Me too.
And because I have a 60th birthday coming, and I always dreamed of being in Paris for my 60th. And then I would head over to Germany because I have a nephew who's stationed over there. And I haven't seen them in a few years, so it'd be nice to see them again and show them some of our family heritage over in Switzerland. Our family name comes from Staubach Falls, which is very interesting. I didn't know about that place until I was there one time, and I want to take them back there to show them where we came from.
So your family name is Staubach?
Yeah, it really, it started, it's Staubach, it's been Americanized many years, but it comes from Staubach.
And I find that waterfall mesmerizing. I can look at that. It's one of the longest waterfalls in Switzerland, right there outside of the town of Lauterbrunnen, half an hour south of Interlaken.
Yes, and I walked the valley in 96.
My first time I went there, there's, you know, at the bottom of a waterfall, there's this conical buildup of stones that the waterfall has thrown down from the mountain. You know what I mean? And it makes a Mount Fuji kind of form around it. I was standing there and I saw a man get hit by a stone from the mountain hurled at him by Staubach Falls. And he clutched, his hand went onto his head and he just fell right down. And I thought, that sign is correct. Watch for rocks hurling out from the waterfall. You got to be careful about that at Staubach Falls.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, I would like to take them there and show them the valley.
Yeah. Well,
and
that's great.
I lived in England a few years ago, and I have many friends back there who I'm Zooming with now who I want to go back and see. Zooming is
That's so interesting, isn't it, that we can Zoom each other now. We could Zoom each other before, but it didn't really occur to a lot of us. I've Zoomed my relatives in Norway, and I had never done it before. And, hey, it's just a few clicks away, and we can be in touch. It's a nice little bonus from this time that we're having to rely on our screens more.
Yes, I'm actually seeing them more now virtually than I get to see them when I'm over there.
Yeah. Well, I hope you can get to Paris, and I hope you can get back to Germany, and be careful of those rocks at Staubach Falls.
Yes, I will. Thank you for warning me.
Thanks for your call. Take care.
You're welcome.
And Jack's on the line from Monterey in California. Jack, thanks for calling.
Sure thing, Rick, and like your radio show and your TV show.
Well, thank you. It's fun to be able to connect with travelers, and it's fun to kind of check in with people and see what you're thinking about. We're all locked down for a little while. We will be traveling again when the time is right. Where would you like to go back to?
Well, I typically spend summers in Italy. I am an author, and I write the Milan thriller series. So I fly into Malpensa, which is between Milan and Lago Maggiore, and I take a bus up to Stresa. Now, Stresa is a town on the southern bank there of Lago Maggiore, and it's a very quiet, peaceful town. And what's really interesting, there are three little offshore islands there, Isola Pescatore, Isola Madre, Isola Bella, and you can take a ferry out there, and they have a hop-on, hop-off ferry, so you can stop at one little island, walk around, go through the gardens, hop on another ferry, and go to the next, go through museums, and then stop and have lunch or have dinner, and then come back. Now, the town Stresa also has this wonderful Embarcadero that stretches quite a ways, and there are parks, and there are flowers, and there are monuments, and they have actually a monument to the victims of 9/11. They also have a monument to the partisans, because much of the partisan war against the Nazis, which was fought in like 44 and 45, took place there in the Northern Alps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's interesting because you can see monuments to people who died in World War II all across Europe, obviously, but in Italy.
Yes.
And some of them were fighting with the Nazis, and some of them were fighting against the Nazis. And you can see that word, partisan. That would be, I don't know exactly the Italian word, but you can read it in English on the memorials, and you can actually tell who were the partisans, who were the guerrillas fighting against the Nazis when Mussolini was running Italy, right?
Yes, that's right.
Wow.
And another nice thing about that is if you're at Lago Maggiore, you are within just an hour or so of other really interesting lakes up there. So there's Lake Varese, which is about an hour away. There's Lake Orta to the west. And then you can take a ferry or a train. You can take it over to Lago Como. Mm-hmm. So it's a very central location, and it's beautiful in that you can look up to the Swiss Alps. And if you're ready to go to Switzerland, you could just hop on a train, and you can go up there to Locarno. Or if you want to go into Milan, there is a 20-minute local train from Stresa into Centrale in mm-hmm. Milan. So it's so conveniently located to have a little relaxation,
yep.
absorb some history, have wonderful foods.
And I'd love to hear your take on Varese, Orta, and Lago Maggiore. I don't know Varese and Orta. Can you describe those to us?
Sure. Okay, so you can leave from Milano and you could take a regional train. It takes a bit of a time there, and it's kind of dropped down into a little valley. Mm-hmm. It's mostly just residents around there. It's not a major tourist place. They have a very nice beach. They have trampolines, and they have mm-hmm. sports gardens there. It's a very quiet kind of a place. It's more for, I think, Milanese who just want to get away and have some peace and quiet.
Okay.
Now, Orta is across a mountain ridge. So you take a local bus from Stresa, and you go up and up and up and up and up, and then you go down and down and down and down, and then you go up and up and up mm-hmm. and down, and then you see Lake Orta. Now, Orta is kind of like a pill-shaped, and right in the middle is this famous island where they have a cathedral. Now, it is so remote that I understand Madonna bought a home there because nobody could find out where she was living in the summertime.
Oh, is that right? Because so George Clooney has a place on Lake Como, right? He didn't care to get
yes,
away from
does.
It all. Now, you like Lago Maggiore. If you had to hang out in Lago Maggiore or Lake Como, how would you compare the two? What would you choose?
Como has many more tourists. So if you're coming from Milan, you're gonna go up the west side, and there are many, many tourist buses that go up the west side, and you're going to pass all these little villages, Cernobbio, Tortuna, Greante, and some of these, you have a four-lane road that goes to a two-lane road, goes to a one-lane road. So you're behind a lot of tourist buses and
so
taxis
the big tour
and motorinos,
buses. Yeah.
And so it takes a long time to go up there. So you miss kind of the beauty of the lake.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once you're on the lake, you could take these ferries from all these beautiful beachside towns, Menaggio, Varese, Bellagio, Como, all the way up north, up towards Switzerland. So mm-hmm. you can have a half day or a full day ferry and just go crisscross.
Ah, you got me kind of excited here. I want to go there. So just... We'll hope that we can get traveling again soon, okay? Jack, thanks for your call.
Thank you very much, Rick.
All right, happy travels.
Yeah, bye-bye.
I just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced at Rick Steves Europe in Edmonds, Washington, by Tim Tapna and Kaz Morrow Hall. We had editing help this week from Donna Bardsley and Sarah McCormick, with studio support from Sports Byline USA in San Francisco and the Radio Foundation in New York. Email us about your travels to radio@ricksteves.com and join us again next week for more Travel with Rick Steves.